Egyptian motifs, such as the lotus blossom that adorns most columns in Egyptian temples, were used at Persepolis with some frequency. The halls in the Persian palaces were filled with columns. There's one that has 100 columns that would then be covered by a wooden roof. And this was one of the most common architectural features at Persepolis and other Persian royal complexes. You might recall that when we talked about the Medes, that I mentioned these columned halls as a possible precursor for Persian architecture. The Apadana, as archaeologists call the largest palace at Persepolis, stood on its own platform. It could have held, it's estimated, up to 10,000 people in the main hall. The most famous part of this palace is the monumental stairway leading up to the palace rooms themselves. And there's really nothing like it in earlier Mesopotamian art. We see some models in the Assyrian reliefs, but once again, the Persians create an entirely new concept. The stairway showed the ruler seated on his throne, receiving tribute from the different regions of his empire. 23 representatives from the lands governed by Darius, each dressed in native garb and led by a Persian courtier, deliver goods. And here is one example where we can see the metal vessels of the type that we discussed earlier in this lecture. And this was tribute that would be representative of the province that was coming to give the gifts to the king. The peaceful parade shows the willingness of these areas to be ruled by the Persians and their respect for the Persian king. The tribute-bearing scenes include a feature not seen before in Mesopotamian art. When an emissary from a subject state is brought before the king, a Persian attendant takes him by the hand. This gesture had been long used in Near Eastern and Egyptian art to indicate that the person being led was approaching a divinity who was often seated, just as we see Darius seated on his throne here. Once again, we see how the Persians chose motifs from different settings, here cultic imagery, to create a new iconography with meaning in their own culture. The Persians imported foreign artisans to decorate their palaces and create their other monuments. Greek sculptors carved some of the figures of the tribute bearers, bringing their gifts to the king in Persepolis. And this has led some scholars to suggest that the style of carving found on the Parthenon relief sculpture in Athens is a reflection of Persian styles. Both monuments incorporate procession motifs. Greek artists hired by Darius could have returned to Greece with some training in Persian artistic style. Other scenes found at Darius's palace follow the same general ideas that we've discussed in earlier cultures. Familiar motifs of kings hunting lions and other powerful animals are adopted from a long-standing tradition of Mesopotamian imagery. One innovation is that instead of the large winged bulls guarding doorways leading to the king's presence in his throne room, now we see reliefs of the king, or perhaps this is a hero, fighting a lion in these entrances. The king is always shown as bigger and more imposing than everyone else, and even the scale in general is more impressive than we found in Assyrian palaces. Persian reliefs do not tell a specific story, as Assyrian reliefs often recounted a single campaign, a very specific moment in which the king and the Assyrian army dominated another area. Instead, Persian relief sculpture portrays scenes that reflect the timelessness and, presumably, the permanence of their empire. Provinces perpetually bring tribute to the king, who graciously receives it, now in the guise of a god.